What a beautiful and powerful image of the day that we are with Christ face to face, that we will sing and shout the victory, that salvation that God has so freely given to us, that we know even now, we will know so fully. Well, today we continue our sermon series, It's Your Move. We launched it right after Easter, where Jesus is speaking to the disciples and he says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And so we know we are called to go forth and share God's light and God's love in the world. And these last few weeks we've been talking about how to do that, about how we're moved to ground every step in prayer, every day in God's grace and mercy. How we are called to be moved to know our story, to know who we are, the identity of who God is and who God has called us to be. How it is we are called to be moved to bear witness in this world, to share God's light and hope and forgiveness and healing. Well, today we continue with our last sermon in the series as we focus in on being a people of covenant. Now, we know all about covenant because if we know about Christ, if we know what he has done for us and on our behalf in his life, death, and resurrection, if we know about the new covenant that God has made with us through him, and if we have entered into that covenant through our baptism, then we know the call each and every day to be a people of covenant with God. But we know that the story of covenant in Scripture goes farther back than the New Testament, and it goes all the way back to the very first book of the Bible, Genesis itself. And that story of covenant is powerful because of what came before. We see in Genesis 1, God has created the world with his word, with his voice. He has called all things into being. And he created Adam and Eve to live in communion with them in the garden, in this beautiful place of communion and beauty and hope. But we also know the story of Adam and Eve and how they fell, how it is that they did not obey God. And so all things began to, in their relationship, began to fall as they were missing the call to be God's image in the world. And we know what led in after that. We know that brother against brother, as Cain killed Abel, we begin to see violence spreading in the world to the point that finally God says, enough, and sends a mighty flood. And yet even with that flood, even with that restart, we still see violence growing again in the world. And what is God to do? God had already promised not to destroy the world in the same way as the flood again, and so God takes a different tact. God calls one man by the name of Abram. And he calls Abram to leave his father's house, to leave his homeland. And this is the story that we are going to hear today. It is a story of God's call. It is a story of God's election. And there are certain traditions within the Christian faith that when they view election, they see it more as an election to blessing and a rejection of others. But when we look in Scripture, what we find is election is precisely to be a blessing to others. And so that is the story that we are going to hear today. I invite you to hear now the reading of Scripture.
This morning's Scripture comes from the Old Testament, the first book of the Bible, Genesis, chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Hear now the word of God. The Lord has said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Holy Spirit, pour yourself out upon this time of reading, hearing, and proclaiming your word. May your voice be heard above all voices. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. If I had to ask you the theme word of this morning's scripture, do you have a guess? Blessing, bless, right? Five times the word bless or blessing appears. Abram, who becomes Abraham, you are blessed to be a blessing. I will make you a great nation so you can become a? I will give you a land so you can become a, so you will have a? I will send you so you can be a? Do you need to get a theme there? It is a strong theme. There's also a little warning in there too. If you curse Abraham or his people, you will be. Let's not dwell there because we're not going to go that route, okay? Let's choose the blessing route, right? The way of God and what he's called us to do. So if we follow God and go in relationship with him and choose his ways, then we're blessed to be a blessing. That was the call upon Abraham. The Hebrew word there is barak, means sudden good news. Out of this time of despair in Genesis, where the garden had been peaceful and everything was going good, and then sin broke in, then there was the fall, then there was the messiness, and we tried to clear up the messiness with a flood, but it got messy again. The first time we hear about blessing again is Genesis 12. That's a long, lonely place from Genesis 1. That's a long, lonely time. So all of a sudden, just how God does, in Scripture and often in our lives, when things get dark and murky, when we're full of sin, when there's no hope, good news breaks in. And the good news is sudden, and it is God-initiated. We didn't earn it. Trust me, we didn't earn it. We couldn't ask for it. We didn't know how it would come, but God is faithful to his people and to his covenant. So when we're a mess, lost in darkness, he breaks in with good news. And the good news is that we are a blessing to be a blessing. Now, this is where we have to talk about what blessing means in Genesis. I'm just going to be honest. Often in contemporary Christianity, blessing means I got what I want from God. Yes. Uh-oh. Often blessing means it seems like God did it the way I wanted him to, and it felt good. Right? I mean, I'm just ripping it open and being honest. Don't we count the blessing from God as the thing I like that he did my way that benefited me? Oh, church, that gets messy. We need to go back to Scripture. What is a blessing according to God? Well, the word blessing in Scripture has a threefold meaning, and you can trace it as you read through Genesis. Blessing means that there is an abundance or multiplication of faith, an abundance of fullness and overflowing or multiplication of faith. So we want to know when we're experiencing blessing in this world. It's when our faith is multiplying to others. If you're under blessing, then there's multiplication of the goodness being poured out on you, also being poured out to others. Faith is being grown. Others are coming to know the love of God. Others are being forgiven. Others are experiencing grace and mercy. That's the first part of blessing in Genesis, that the faith is multiplying. People of God are multiplying. The second form of blessing or understanding of blessing in Genesis is that we're at peace or rest in creation. Remember, God created the heavens and the earth and the 6 days, and on the seventh day, he created the Sabbath so that we might rest. And it's this peaceful rest in creation where we let go of everything, and it reminds us that it's never our work that's benefiting us. It's God who gives us good gifts. I can't toil and do something long enough or hard enough to make my salvation come about or to take care of me or to redeem me or this world. And if you want to know it's true, then rest and watch God take care of the world without you. Amen? And when we rest in creation, remember, it goes back to Genesis. There's this portrait of the garden. When they're resting in creation, they're walking and talking. And who is walking with them and talking to them? But the very presence of God. So when you rest in creation and are blessed, you're also experiencing and talking to and in the presence of the living God. You're at rest and at peace with him as well. So the first part of blessing is that faith is multiplying, that others are coming to know God's love. The second part of blessing is that you're able to rest and be at peace in God's creation and with your Creator. And then the third part of blessing is that you can live in harmony with others. Remember, a lot of what happened when sin came into play is even sibling would kill sibling. Even sibling would kill sibling within a household. Brothers turned against each other. Neighbors turned against each other. Nations turned against each other. Well, to be under God's blessing means that you live in peace and harmony within your family and your neighbor and your neighborhood and your community and your nation and your world. And you notice what that makes when you're vertically in peace with God and horizontally in peace with one another. It forms the, and you want to talk about the eruption of the good news. It's the cross and the resurrection in Christ. And what do we want to multiply but this abundant faith of people knowing the love of God, going person to person to person to person. To be blessed is to live into those, that fullness of God's blessing.
So the blessing itself, living into that fullness, Genesis makes clear throughout that this blessing, this fullness, is for the nations. It's not just for one people. It's not just for one family. It's not just for one person. It's for the world. And it's amazing, five times in Genesis, this promise is reaffirmed by God again and again, that Abraham and his family, his descendants, all those would bless the nations as they are blessed. It's interesting when we look at this dynamic, the sense of God calling one person, the unique individual, so that all people can be blessed. For we who are in Christ know this dynamic already, don't we? We know that it is through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, through that one person, the only Son of God, that God has chosen to bless the nations. And so we who are in Christ Jesus, who have been and are deeply blessed, are called to go and do likewise. The point of election is to share God's blessing and God's hope. That is the point and the purpose of the choice. It's kind of like the story about some cave explorers. They were traveling around and they were looking all sorts of unique places and learning different things. And then when it was time to head back home, they tried to go the route that they came in, but it was beginning to fill with water. And so they started to look for another way and they found one, but it was small. And so they dug as much as they could, but they just barely made it larger. And so it turns out that the smallest person of the team became one of the most important in that moment, because that person was chosen to squeeze through that little hole and race out and, well, not go home and thank God that they're out, but to go and get help, to go and get others, to bring equipment to come along and save the rest. And so it is the point and purpose of being chosen in Christ is to make sure that we go out and share God's light, his forgiveness and hope, the good news with the world. And we see what we are called to do with this chosenness in the story of Abraham. We see what God told Abraham to do. It's interesting, the first thing that God tells Abraham, he says, leave. Leave your father's house. Leave your homeland, For folks in the ancient Near East, that was the last thing they wanted to do. They didn't want to leave their father's house and leave their homeland. What would happen if they died in a foreign land? What would happen with their body? How would they be buried with their ancestors? And yet Abraham was 75 years old when God told him to hit the road. But Abraham said yes. And he went. It's interesting, we hear this echo throughout Scripture. We hear it even with the command of Christ. The risen living Christ we see in Matthew chapter 28. One of the last things he's saying to the disciples, he says, go. Go, share the good news. Share all that I have commanded you. Go to all of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Go. It's interesting as we think about the different ways that we as individuals and as the church are called to go, to make sure that all people know and hear. There's also this sense of journey within our own individual lives. For we know over time as we look at ourselves, maybe if you're journaling, you can see this through your journal, that over time we begin to recognize the way that sin has been at work in our life, the way sin has been confining us. You know, oftentimes when we think about sin, we think about the things that are sinful, and we look at that and we go, wow, you know, they do all sorts of things. Man, to be sinful, we can just go out, we can just have the whole lot, we can do everything. And yet, the more that we grow in Christ, the more we begin to understand His love, the more we taste and see the goodness of God's salvation, what we begin to realize is actually, sin is very confining. Sin does not lead to the fullness of life that we were created for and that our heart desires. And it is ultimately as we go, as we leave sin behind, and by God's grace we are healed and given hope, that we begin to understand the wide open space of God's salvation and the great place that God is calling us to, made with His love and given with His mercy.
So God will tell Abraham at 75 years old, get up and go. And Abraham will go. That journey will not be an easy journey. Abraham will be put to the test along with his wife Sarah multiple times. And so not only did Abraham have to go and leave, he had to learn to believe and obey. He had to believe and obey that God would be with him in every single step of the journey. And that when a test or trial or a roadblock came that there was no way through, that God would provide a way through it. And Abraham would be tested so much. In Genesis 22, it talks about the hardest test Abraham went through when God called for Abraham to be tested about Isaac, his son who was his beloved, was the ultimate test. But even in that moment, Abraham sought to be faithful and God provided a way through. He provided a way. And so the same is true of us. God calls us to not only go and leave, but then once we get going and following, we need to listen and obey and believe that God is speaking and guiding and moving us each step of the way. And if you want to know how we do in obedience, I'd ask you, have you been around children recently? Because children display obedience and disobedience very quickly. And then you can decide whether you see yourself in it. I'll just give you some examples. First of all, sometimes we'll say to a child, go clean your room, and they do nothing. Do you know sometimes God nudges us, and we do nothing. Nothing. Sometimes God, or the parent doesn't really say, go and clean your room. They say, no, really, go and clean your room. And the child says, no. Do you know sometimes God says to us, no, really, I want you to forgive. No, really, I want you to change that behavior. No, really, I keep putting that neighbor on your heart or mind. because I've given you that neighbor. No, really. And sometimes we say, nope, and try to block God speaking to us or nudging us or calling us. But you know, disobedience comes in a lot of other ways. Trust me, I have a child. I can remember all of them very clearly from this week. Things like, sometimes we do what's called delayed obedience, where I say, clean your room, and he says, after I finish my video game, or after one more TV, or after I finish building this little part of my Lego set, which means the entire Lego set, amen? Delay of game, right? We do this to God all the time. Well, let me see if someone else will serve there first. Well, let me see if they can get another volunteer to do that. Well, let me see if that's really what I heard or if I just felt it. I know it's been 3 days in a row, but that's probably just me thinking that thought, right? We do the delay of game all the time. And then sometimes you might tell a child to do something like get out of the pool, and they will start negotiating, right? 5 more minutes. But I want to exercise 3 more laps. Oh, I haven't cleaned up the toys yet. Let me swim to each toy and move each toy and play with each toy while I swim each toy to the side and then accidentally drop 3 more toys in so I can go swimming. Right? Do we not negotiate with God? I have told Michael, I have hope for world peace because how Luke can negotiate about the pool. There is hope for our world. We do the same thing with God. Well, I will do that if you take care of this. If you show me a big billboard sign or if you give me the burning bush, then of course I do it. You gave Moses a big sign. You give me a big sign. Cross. Cross. Given to everyone. And we still call out, speak big, show me big, tell me big, then I'll do it. God said to Abraham, leave and go, but believe and obey. And our call is each step of the journey, whether it's a whisper, a nudge, whether it's we already know we're supposed to, then we're to obey God's walk and his way. And when we do, what we discover is that we become a vessel of God's love and of his kingdom. And there's no way for God to flow through you without blessing you again. It's impossible to have God flow through you without you being formed and transformed as well. It's impossible to see the kingdom arise in someone else's life and know that you were this much a part of it and not to be blessed with an eternal blessing. And we just sang a song about when we all get to heaven. There would be no better heaven homecoming than when you get there to know that others were there because you lived your life in response to Christ's resurrection, and that you were a part of helping others who would not have known God's love and forgiveness if it were not for you and your voice and your prayer and your actions. So all these weeks after Easter, we've been talking about how to live in response, to be on mission. And what I hope you've discovered is what we've discovered. While mission trips are awesome, while mission committees are needed, while mission work days are great, that's not what God called for. He called for a missional people, not a day or a project. He called for each of his disciples to live as a missional person. Now, because of that, we will have mission teams and we will go on mission trips and we will do packing parties. But when there's not a packing party, we are to live missionally as well. We don't wait for the word mission to show up in the bulletin to be missional. And when you want to know when to stop being missional, the question's easy. Are there still people who need to know the love of Christ? You can answer it out loud. Are there still people? As long as there is, then the answer is us, Christ Church. We are not done and will not be done until every single person on earth knows the love of Christ. Until then, we are to go. We are to pray missionally. We're to have gentle faith conversations that are not judging but inviting. We are to be the presence of knowing Scripture, not knowing everything as experts, but knowing that this is God's living word, and in it contains the story of Christ. And as I figure this out, I invite other people to come figure out Scripture with me. We're to know our story and to know that Christ is the lead of our story. We're to bear witness to the living God. And we are to take our blessings and use them to bless others. Years ago, I had a youth director, and they said, write down every blessing in your life. And I remember I was like 11, so I didn't really own anything, but I had like cassette tapes and a few posters. I had, you know, some clothes. I didn't have much. But then I remember making this list, and now our youth director said, now share how every single one of those are for God's purposes, which then made you look at which cassettes you had, by the way. And then you decide which ones to tell your youth director that you have and say, well, we could share these because this is the Christian music. My clothes, I can share with someone who doesn't have clothes. My notebooks, I can share at school. I can have my health and my life and my time be used to serve and to share. I think about my life now, I'm no longer 11. We have a lot. We have homes and transportation and health. We have more time than most people. We have energy enough for this day. We have voice, we have prayer, we have note cards, we have financial means. We have so many ways to build the kingdom of God with exactly what he's given us. Our talents, our gifts, our everything. May we be found like Abraham, going because Christ sent us, and obeying so that others may be blessed. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, pour your Spirit upon us. Let us be bold and courageous. Fill us up with so much love that we can't help but be loving. Give us patience when we don't understand our circumstances. Give us patience when we don't understand other people. Help us to relate in love above all else. Let us praise and worship you today, O God. Amen. If you'll stand with us as we praise and sing.